Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse fake.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Euro Bart. This is Ty Windisch, and I am joined in a moment here by Bart Winkler, host of the Bart Winkler Show, our friend covering all Wisconsin sports. And we had just got into a deep post-playoff flameout Bucks chat, as Bart and I are prone to do, talked about what we think should come next, what has to happen, most disappointing Bucks losses. Hopefully it's cathartic. Maybe it's just us ranting a little bit. I don't know, but it was a great chat. Really always enjoy talking to Bart. And you should, if you're not already, go subscribe to the Bart Winkler Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and on YouTube. Bart is doing great work, and he's doing pods every day on YouTube and on the pod platform. So wherever you listen to the Eurostep, Win in Six, and our other GSPN pods, go subscribe and listen to Bart as well. He does great work. Always enjoy catching up with him. Without further ado, here is our conversation.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. I'm still doing the thing where when the Heat and Knicks are playing, I'm still doing like, well, this would be game two. Well, this would be game three. And I would be watching the game right now. I'm talking with Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast, part of the ever-growing and expansive GSPN network of pods. Ty, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. A weird turn of events. I don't know exactly why. I don't know if it's just a begrudging respect. I don't know if it's a it'll make the Bucks look better thing.
No.
I'm enjoying the Heat playoff run.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't either. I never expected this. I've never done this before. Like, I wasn't like, oh yeah, go Raptors or go Celtics when those.
What are you enjoying?
I think it's funny that there were like Knicks fans. I picked the Heat to win, I think, in six this round. I pick all the series, and the Knicks fans were like, no, and other fans are like, no, the Bucks just suck, right? Like, they just don't know how to scheme. These guys aren't going to keep shooting like this, and now they are. And at a certain point, I'm just like, you know what? If it's going to be like these 15 undrafted guys and Haywood Highsmith playing, and Jimmy's not even in there, and they almost beat the Knicks in the Garden. There's something about this team where I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't like them. I've got to respect them. I'd rather they come out of the East than anybody else. That's for sure.
I think what this
– is this Stockholm Syndrome? Me,
yeah, I think so. I think what it did for me was it reminded me that the hate that I've had for the Celtics the last few years, mm-hmm. it's real. I mean, I hate them. But it's the Heat. The team really? I hate the most is the Heat.
That's fair.
And so I got like reignited with that this year. I just like everyone talks about Heat culture, which is just a phrase. It does. There's no such thing. It's not a thing. There's nothing to it. I don't like them.
It's been
I don't
a good
like
year for
these.
Heat culture. It's been a good year for their, which I've called it a BS ideology as well.
I hate these guys.
Yeah,
I hate them. I don't like them. And I'm petty. And I also, you know, that's how I am. When the team beats me, I want them to suffer the same amount of pain as I felt. So with that being said, I'm rooting for the Sixers in that series, even though I know it's hard to
can't do it. Yeah.
Root for Embiid slipping on. He's the one guy that plays on a basketball court like he's on a hockey rink, falling all over the place.
Game one without him, they got to like a minute left in the first half with no free throws. And I was like, basketball is utopia without Joel Embiid. We have proof now. Even in a game with James Harden and the Celtics.
Yeah, there were two free throws, I think, in that whole first half. Yeah. Both for Boston, and each team shot, I mean, Boston shot like 78% in that first half. So, you know, the East sucks, and I hate it and everything. So one of the things that I've been talking about throughout the year, actually, I haven't been talking about it. I've not wanted to talk about is people would come up with different scenarios about the offseason and what would happen with Chris or Drew or Brooke. And I would say, those conversations are for a later day. Why are we doing this now? Why are we talking about we're about to embark on a 2-month playoff run. Why are we talking about any of this at that point? Well, now is the time to talk about it. And I think if they had gone further, if they had won the championship for sure, but then they would have reached a certain level where I would have said wholeheartedly, look, this is a good core. Bring everybody back. Do what you have to do. You know, these guys have been great. And now I'm at the point already where, look, I love this team. I love what they did. They built a really good team to win a championship. I think Drew was just an incredible trade that they made. The summer that everybody wanted Chris Paul, they got Drew instead, and that people was great.
It felt hopeless when Chris Paul went to the Suns. It was like, oh, there's no other guard upgrade out there. What are they going to do now? And then you wake up to Drew Holiday one day, and it's like, oh, I guess I'll do that. That works.
And Bogdanovich, and then
he
didn't wake up to him. But they didn't need him. So Middleton, I've always supported Middleton. I've always been a fan of Middleton. You know, I love Brooke. And I'm saying all this to obviously say that I think they need to pivot.
Yeah,
I think they need to have a stark pivot. And one thing that I would love is for them to get younger, which would be impossible. But then the other thing is, like, re-sign Brooke, okay. Sign and trade Middleton and maybe trade Drew. That's kind of where I'm at, which sucks. Yeah. I want to ask you and talk to you about, like, what are you thinking? And then if these things are what they're going to do, how? I mean, how are they going to do it is the question.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think at a certain level, you know, I almost think this isn't the worst offseason for the Bucks to potentially have to do this. We agree they need to do something, even if they make a coaching change, which, you know, I think we'll see on that. Obviously, it's a tough time for Coach Bud right now. There's plenty of time to analyze that or to make that move later. But I don't think a coaching change would be enough, right? Like, I think the way the players executed wasn't good enough. And to your point about needing to get younger, you know, we shouldn't probably expect Drew, Chris, and Brooke to all be at the same level or better next year. And from what we saw, they would need to be, like, they would all need to be better than they were this year. Brooke was great offensively. I didn't look at the numbers until we did our last playoff, like, stock podcast going through everything. Brooke was amazing offensively. Defensively, the impact wasn't there. I'd say Chris kind of the same. Good offensive series, defensively. You know, Brooke wasn't as effective as normal. Chris was a huge problem defensively, and, you know, that's something that's going to be difficult going forward. Drew was just not as impactful as usual defensively, and offensively kind of killed them after, like, games 1 and 2. So even if you get, like, a great offensive-minded coach in there, which I think they kind of have to do, like, for our own sanity as much as the team winning, score some points. Like, even when they won, well, I mean, all those series would get so grimy and neither team would score. Because that was all the Bucks could do. Like, they'd have to, they'd have to choke you out, and then they'd barely score enough to win. You know, that was a fun identity. I like the bully ball. I don't think it's sustainable though in the league. Like, I think you're going to run into teams that defend you well enough because your offense isn't that good, and then that feeds into these runs. And I do think most of the time when they lose, it's because they go on these runs where the other team gets hot from the three, and the Bucks just can't do anything offensively. And I just think they need to be better at scoring in the playoffs. So. A coaching change could potentially help with that. I think a player change could too. You look around the league, and the difficult part is, you know, for getting a younger player, it's a little weird. You kind of need to target a team that wants to be good because your assets are not like, you know, the Utah Jazz, right? Do they care about Jrue Holiday? Probably not. I mean, they want to win games. They're not opposed to it, but they're a young team. They have a bunch of draft picks. Their best players are young. Maybe they would want Jrue. I don't know what player they'd have anyway. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
You need a team that kind of wants to win if you're shopping Jrue and Chris. So I think Atlanta's a little interesting because they floated the Trae Young stuff before the playoffs. He was really good in the playoffs. I don't know if that changes anything. Also, they have an owner's kid in the front office, and that is always like a green arrow, like trade with that team. Trade with a team who has the owner's kid
in the front office.
Yeah, we no longer do. That's always a good thing, I think, to look for. The Rockets apparently floated, or something came out that they would potentially trade Jalen Green for an established star. I think they're looking to get James Harden and then bring in somebody else and just try and win right away. You know, Jalen Green is still a little raw. Certainly the potential is there. I almost wonder, is that too young? Because you want to win with Giannis, and that's like 6 years younger than Giannis now. Too young, maybe better than too old. I mean, Giannis is not old yet either. I look at Portland with Anfernee Simons over there. Do they really want to win with Dame? Are they looking for an established player to pair? I think they need to make a move. They keep saying all they want to do is help Dame win. I think that's admirable.
Or give us Dame.
That would work too. I mean, that would be the home run. But the problem is that caliber of player usually, and maybe Trey is too ambitious for that reason. It's like, okay, 4 picks and 3 swaps or whatever. And the Bucks have 1 pick and no swaps. And with this new CBA, I thought they would have 2 picks plus their first in 2024. They probably won't be able to trade that farthest away pick in 2024 because of this new rule limiting what they can do. So I think you kind of need to look at teams that are looking to take that next step and for some reason have an offensive-minded guard that would flip you. Because I do think that's what – I think they need an offensive-minded player. I've also had a friend who covers the Clippers, podcasts about them, will not stop reaching out to me about Jrue Holiday for like Paul George and some sort of construction around that. And that's not getting you younger, and there's obviously an injury thing there, and Chris and PG together would be like a nightmare injury season. But if they're healthy at the same time, that certainly raises your offensive upside. So – I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall at this point. Would love to hear your thoughts on any of those that interest you, though.
Well, I do think that, you know, they're in this spot where it's like they feel it almost feels like there needs to be a miracle play. Like if they're going to get better than this, there needs to be a miracle play or really crafty maneuvership from John Horst. And I want to, like, on the record, I am totally fine with that because they won a championship. They went all in, let's say, to win a championship.
It worked. Yeah.
They won a championship. And then with that squad, they thought, let's keep this going as long as we can. An injury cost them last year. And then maybe you can say an injury cost them this year. I wouldn't go that far, although I do think like they should have played Giannis and they probably, you know, would admit that now in game three.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, you know, people, the one thing I don't understand in sports right now is everybody that craps on the LA Rams for being in cap hell.
If it works.
They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The goal is the championship. So I'm very happy with the title. I just, with looking at, you know, to get another one, if the goal is to get another one with Giannis, I don't think this squad's able to do it. Already they were, you know, they play these teams with these younger wings that run all over them. And then all we keep trading for is Jay Crowder's who we don't play and Joe Ingles who, like, it's been like this for 5 years. I mean,
yeah,
they trade for Mirotic, Teletovich. I mean, just who's old? Paul Gasol.
And,
yeah, Goran Dragic could have been Kevin Love. Not that we would have played him, but he at least wouldn't have been on the Heat. Yeah. So it's like they keep getting these old guys that, and the PJ one worked.
Yeah.
So the one time it worked, they got a championship, and then other times it hasn't worked. I would like to see, like, if they come back with all four of the guys, Jrue, Brooke, Chris, Giannis, I don't know. I mean, they'll be good.
I would need to see, like, a whole new – not just a new coach, like a whole new offensive philosophy. Like, that's the only way – I mean, you know, I'd have fun watching them. I'm not going to sit up here and be like, I would stop watching – I'm going to watch Giannis no matter what. I mean, they could – they could put the 15-win bucks around him. I'd still watch 80 games. But
like, they're good, but they like, all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, would they be better than Tatum and Brown? Would they be better than Embiid and, you know, Harden or who's ever in Philly? They just lost to Jimmy and Bam and Caleb Martin and Max Strus.
Lowry, yeah.
So, yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's where I'm at. As far as like coach, the discussion that I think a lot of people have is, hey, who should be the Nick Nurse?
Yeah.
Nick Nurse. Okay. And I don't know how offensive mind like the guys on the staff are, but you've seen guys on Bud's staff have success. You know, Jenkins and Ham to name two right away.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Charles Lee. The thing that the only time I did do an interview in New Orleans radio last year, 2 years ago, where the guy asked me about Charles Lee because they needed a head coach.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that Charles Lee was even a
happens
coach.
Every year. And there's always some people in Bucks media who are like, oh yeah, I read all of the three sentences they put out. I know, but I'm like, I don't know anything about these guys.
Taylor Jenkins,
Taylor Jenkins, that's the guy who holds Bud back. I can't imagine he's going to be a very good, and he's a great coach. Okay.
My answer was, oh, you know, all the guys on Bud's staff, you know, they're very connected, you know, and the phrase I said was, and Charles Lee, he's very with the players.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what that meant. But now whenever Charles Lee comes up, people will tweet me like, oh, he's with the players.
He's connected with the players, yeah.
Whatever that means. But he seems to be like a target. Every other odds is like 2-1, Charles Lee, Pistons. 3-1, Charles Lee. So, but I don't know, because I kind of like hiring a guy who knows a little bit about what's up. Like, he knows what didn't work, and now it's his turn. He knows, I'm sure he's got different philosophies. So we're just using Charles Lee in this example. I mean, he's probably the most like qualified or the person that would be that coach. I don't know that I want a brand new guy to come in, try to implement and start from scratch. But I think to your point, just anybody that like wants to score points needs to be the guy.
Yeah, I think all coaching like analysis or takes from the outside should be taken with a grain of salt for this very reason. I mean, I think the Bucks have actually been good about putting Charles Lee out there, and like he had an interview with Zora Stevenson and all these things, which is good. I think it helps him. And I think in general, the Bucks are very as okay as you can be with like the coaches getting poached. I think they're fine with that. I think they know that's what being a good org is about, is, you know, giving people opportunities they may not have on your staff. And I think that's cool. Charles Lee, though, I think outside of an assistant year at his alma mater, has only been a Bud assistant. I would prefer someone who had some more outside experience. I think, again, and maybe Charles Lee is an offensive guru and we just haven't gotten to see it because he hasn't been in the lead chair. I don't know. And if he is, then I think that's a fine hire. But I think generally you look at Taylor Jenkins, Darvin Ham, they are more defensive first coaches and more, you know, that's just kind of the way. Like there's some Budenholzer to both of them, I think. I know Ham's rotations piss people off. And I was like, yeah, that's That's how it is. But, you know, did that Russell Westbrook drama tear down the team? No. And that's also a Budenholzer thing. And same with the Grizzlies and all their stuff. I mean, they stuck together. They just weren't good enough. I would prefer someone probably who had some more outside experience overall. Some people have floated Sam Cassell to me. I think that's interesting. Again, I don't know that much about. He's been an assistant for a long time. I'm interested in Jordy Fernandez, who's a Kings assistant. He seems like an offensive guru, and he helped them defend the Warriors pretty well in the playoffs, although I know they're not a great defense overall. But I don't know that much about any of these guys. I mean, I think it comes down to what Horst and the ownership and everything sees in the interviews and hears. But I think I have no issue with Charles Lee. I hope he gets a Detroit job. I think that would be a great opportunity for him to build a culture there. But I just feel like it's important for us to say, like, we don't know what we don't know when it comes to coaching. Right. I wouldn't be opposed to Nick Nurse. I hate his dumb hats. But, you know, if he's going to be the guy who they trust to build an offense here, then I could ride with that, I guess. I'll buy the hat if they win. I'll hate it, but I'll do it.
Yeah, I would say which one of us would be more likely to buy the NN hat first? I don't think I ever would.
Oh, if they won a championship, I said I would buy it, and I meant I will. I'll buy the NN hat if they win a championship with Nick Nurse.
I guess
I'll wear it on a pod.
I guess if they won a title.
Yeah, we'll be at the parade in our NN hats.
Hey, Bud won a title, and I, like, did everything I could to try to look more like him. You know? Scruffy beard. Crappy hair, fat gut, tired eyes. Yeah, I mean, I tried everything in that sense. We talked about this last week where Giannis and his comments and the LinkedIn post that he had.
No, it's a Nike campaign.
It is?
Yeah. God. Yeah, it won't die. I know. I had the same reaction. I was like, really? Could we just let it go?
He avoided criticism for how bad he played. Yep. In that fourth quarter. And then now people I've seen, very light conversation, but enough to, you know, talk about it, just us girls, is people are wondering, like, is he as dominant as we thought? Like, if he's as dominant as we thought, should he have not taken over that game? And then it gets back to the mid-range, and it gets back to all this other stuff. But I think that Giannis is the best player in the world. We could talk about top three if you want. It's not, I do want to say too, it's not Anthony Davis. I would just like to actually pivot for 2 seconds to give some Anthony Davis slander, because nobody in history can have one good game and then people crown him as the greatest player of all time, even though they know he will be hurt and then bad 2 games later. Well, I don't understand.
It's so crazy because he plays like a top 5 to 7 player, like a third of
Harden
his
Harden has a good game one and people are like, wow, that was amazing. But he'll suck again. With Davis, it's like, nope, this is finally it.
Yeah.
He is finally going to be the greatest player ever. He never is.
I mean, it's just, it is. I don't really get it. I don't understand the Anthony Davis experience. Because, I mean, the good games are, like, I don't even argue with Anthony Davis people anymore. Because the good games, it's like, oh, I see the vision. Like, oh, my God, he looks amazing. Sure. Like, he's so good when he's good. But either because of injuries or he'll just, like, not get the ball offensively and get a little passive. And it's like, oh, the impact is kind of gone. Certainly don't think he's better than Giannis, but at his top end, he's a hell of a player. I think Giannis is still the best in the world too. And I think maybe there's more argument that I would hear now than I would have before the series. He also had what, like 38 and 20 in game five. It's not like he went out with 10 points or something.
His finals run was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, but then in this situation, like if he could have made one or two more shots or just something. Like,
yeah, we might still be watching the Bucks at this point if that fourth quarter was just a little less bad from him. I mean, it's really one of his worst quarters in the playoffs, I don't know, since he took out Dunleavy. I mean, since Nets game two, it was bad. So it sucks, but I think it happens to pretty much everyone. I mean, even LeBron had the, you know, J.J. Barea finals moment. I mean, and not everyone is great all the time.
Is it a failure if they only win one with Giannis, because everybody wants to connect
Giannis.
There are
no failures in sports.
None, not even a single. Everyone wants to connect Rodgers with Giannis. I think it's different. The teams are different. The league is different. But I would like him to win another just so that we don't have to have this. Like nobody looks at the Dirk Mavs and says, oh, they should have won two. And maybe that's what we are.
I think it'd be a failure. Yeah, because I think Maybe they were at the time, but I mean, I feel like we have higher aspirations for Giannis than where Dirk is historically, which is, you know, ridiculously high. It's not trying to shade Dirk here, who's an all-time player. But after Giannis won his first one at age, what, like 27, and he had two MVPs by that point, it's like, okay, he's on GOAT trajectory. That's what we were talking about in 21.
Yes.
You know, if you only win one in, you know, 10, 11 years in Milwaukee, and hopefully he stays for a lot longer. I mean, if he's here his whole career and only wins one, yeah, I would be disappointed. I mean, you'd certainly hope that a player who at his highest highs is the best in the world, undisputedly, which I don't think Dirk was ever really, maybe for a few months there in 2011, but not the kind of way Giannis has been. So I think it'd be a failure. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not incomprehensible. It's really hard to win in the NBA, and the East has been fairly loaded for a lot of this run that since the Bucks have gotten good. But, you know, I would be disappointed for sure. I'm happy we got one. I know there's a lot of people out there, oh, you just got to be happy. Yeah, I'm happy they got one, but you know, it's Giannis. Like I was, it's a failure. They only won one with Kareem too. Like it's doesn't make it not great, but you certainly like more.
There's a question that they're going to talk Sparky's podcast, Green and Growing. And I'm going to steal the question, but I'm promoting it. So it's fine.
That seems like a fair trade.
They want to ask which playoff loss hurt the most.
Oh, I answered the poll. I waited on
I want to rank them. I want to rank
okay.
them. 2019 Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors, 2020 bubble against the Heat, last year versus the Celtics, and this year versus the Heat. My number one will be – so this is where it gets hard because, like, with Giannis's stuff, and this is what I brought up to you. The Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors was terrible. The bubble against the Heat was terrible.
Yep.
But then they won a championship, which I think lessens the blow with the further out you get. So, like, with the Packers winning in 2010, you know, there was that wild card game against Arizona or whatever. I don't care about that because that was the steps. That's what, yeah, so that's where I get what he's saying. That yeah. was a step to a victory.
Oh, I get what he's saying, too. I'm sick of hearing about it. I understood what he meant. I don't disagree with it. He can think whatever. I don't. That doesn't bother me. But, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, this year, an absolute failure.
Yeah, of course.
But if they use it to then win a championship.
Yeah.
So, like, the year against the Raptors, they choked.
Yeah.
They were up 2-0 and then almost up 3-0, and they choked. But it was on the path to success. So that's why it lessens the blow a little bit for me. But I would vote that one. I don't want to be like prisoner of the moment, but I really thought that they were going to go to the finals that year.
Yeah.
I'm voting 2018 against the Raptors first.
I'm putting this one first and that one second.
Yeah, this one sucks also. This is I would put this one second.
So I think 2019, the Raptors were probably the better team. That's how I feel looking back at it because, I mean, that's still an Eric Bledsoe team. I mean, the Raptors had – obviously Kawhi, who was the best player in the world at that moment. I mean, that playoff run, he was godly good. Lowry's pretty good. Siakam's good. Their depth was really good. Marc Gasol.
They had the magical run of Van Vliet.
Yep, Van Vliet was incredible that year. And I just
I think a lot of us called Van Vliet the whole series.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people still do, I think. But I just felt like it was kind of their year. And then it hurt because it felt like a missed opportunity. They were almost up 3-0, and that would have ended the series. And the Bucks kind of fumbled late in game three. But I look back and I go, you know, that Giannis, his first real playoff run, first time they won a series was that year, right? And I just think, okay, they lost to that team. Kawhi was better than Giannis at that point. I can live with it. And this year, it's like, okay, they were the one seed. And even with Giannis's injury, he came back and they lost two in a row. The Heat didn't have Hero. I mean, Jimmy was banged up. I mean, you can't lose this way. And I almost think... I agree with your point on, like, I think bubble would have been, if they don't win in 21, bubble could be the worst. Cause I mean, there was a chance that could have been the series that drove out Giannis. That's what it kind of felt like at the time. But now looking back at the bubble and them going and winning right away, I think it reduces that one. But this, knowing that this core has won a championship and having to watch them go out in the first round against the A seed as the first seed, I think this is the worst loss in terms of, like, it's the least justifiable by far to me. So that's why I have this one first. Like, I think this one will be embarrassing forever, whereas the other ones are just like, sometimes you lose.
Yeah, historically, this one will be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, they had to get George.
Even though the Heat were the seventh best record in the East, they were the eighth seed. So technically, were they an eighth seed?
Oh, there we go. I like that. Let's muddy the waters on how embarrassing.
The first thing you said, if the Heat go far and win it all, then this becomes less embarrassing. That's true.
It does. It absolutely does.
So that's why some people would root, but I don't. I would rather just see them lose.
We
could be facing a Heat Celtics final tie, Eastern Conference final.
Again. I mean, that's last year. So, and the bubble. That happens a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
So the poll was 42% said this year, 37% said the Eastern Conference final against the Raptors, 13% said last year against the Celtics. They're such an out with Middleton's injury that
I put that one last.
Bubble got 7%.
Yeah, the bubble. Well, the bubble and that. I think it's two levels to this, right? Like it's the two we talked about, and then bubble and Celtics are like you couldn't put either of those two. I don't think the bubble.
The bubble was so weird, obviously, because they had already been like faltering heading into the break.
Yeah,
and then they come back.
They weren't very good in there at all.
And then there was, off the court issues that got distracted.
Yeah. Still an Eric Bledsoe team, which I just think we have to weight those differently.
Oh, God, that stupid bubble, which was so great. But I am glad, where we're sitting today, if you told me the Bucks have one title and it was in the bubble.
That would not be ideal.
At least they were able to get it done. So no exit interviews. Here's what happened with this. Everyone was like, oh, shit, no exit interviews. That's a problem. And now there's the, actually, what's the big deal if they don't do exit interviews? You guys are overreacting. There's always the real, there's always the reaction, which is real.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that try to counter the reaction.
Yeah.
But to me, it says, I know Bud is going through stuff and he's grieving.
Yeah.
But there needs to be exit interviews.
I would be fine if Bud was excused even. Like that, I get it. Like that's okay. My thing is this, there's eight players I think who can hit free agency. And now
this is like when the Packers put out a graphic where they were going to London and Rodgers wasn't in the graphic last year. And they're like, oh my God, what does this mean? By not having an exit interview, people are like, it means nothing. I think it tells me. No, there's changes. It tells me that. Maybe I'm overreacting, but to me, it tells me that they don't know what's going to be up. They don't know.
I don't want to go that far that it's signaling anything. I think
I already did.
That's fine. I mean, there's two player options. There's a lot of guys with big decisions coming. We really only heard from Crowder, who is frankly one of the least interesting guys to hear from after the series he had. Javon Carter, Chris Middleton, of course, Brooke Lopez, all these guys. Ingles, what's Ingles thinking about? We don't know, which I think sucks. It's going to make this offseason even more just mysterious and, more rife for speculation, really. Obviously, not to mention Horst and what he's thinking right now and how he views this. We just don't know. I feel like the Bucks are just such a closed mouth team as at any opportunity. And honestly, they were just it's a difficult situation for a lot of reasons. We're just going to shut it down. Everyone can go to Cancun or Greece now, which I just think is really disappointing. I mean, I think it was a crappy season. I looked last year, they did the exit interviews. They were all on YouTube. They were all posted. They even timestamped them. And it's we heard from Chris Middleton right after he didn't play at all against the Celtics. And he sat there and answered questions. And this year to get none of them with so much up in the air with the core, I do think is disappointing and just really makes it that we're going blind into this summer, which is probably what they want. The Bucks, I feel like to operate in this secrecy mode, but it's very frustrating. It's just going to leave. I mean, I understand why people, like you said, are saying, oh, this means they're going to blow it up because, they're not controlling any narratives at all. It's just think whatever you want to think, which, it's going to be a trade machine filled summer now. And there's going to be a lot of Nick Nurse posts every day until he figures out where he's going to go. So I don't like it at all. I like interviews. People think that media is useless. I had a lot of people saying, oh, we know the series sucked. Who cares? Let's see what the players think. I mean, no one cares what we think they think. Let's see what they actually think. I mean, every time I get here an interview with a player, there's usually something that takes me by surprise a little bit. I mean, these guys aren't robots. Like, they have thoughts we don't expect all the time. And it's important to have these media availabilities to actually get an idea of what they're thinking. I don't think they're useless at all. I'm very disappointed. And to be clear, I don't even get to go. Like, this isn't a – if anyone listening oh, he's upset because he doesn't get to go. I'm not credentialed. I don't get invited. I literally just want to watch like everybody else, and I don't get to, and I think it sucks.
Yeah, we're processing this loss, and we would like to hear from the players to see how they're dealing with it. I don't think that that's unfair from fans at all. I'm going to take one of my parade chairs and set it back up on Wisconsin Avenue because I think they should have a not a parade, but a walk of shame where we can all shame them for
get the bells out.
Play
Game of Thrones style.
They need to be. I love when they need to be held accountable for what they said. Well, it's going to be an awful off season.
Yep.
It's going to suck. Maybe it'll be cool, but there's a lot of mystery and I don't like it. So I'm real bummed, man. I had a whole May planned and May was going to be fun. And, you know, I know a bunch of businesses and bars are ready to party, and now what?
Brewers watch alongs.
I haven't watched a Brewer game in 3 weeks.
I watched a couple. It's been pretty disappointing. I was like, oh, this sucks. There's such an exciting season. It's going to be the Bucks playoff run. I'm not going to get to watch very much until later. And then, like, as soon as the Bucks flame out, like, Garrett Mitchell's out for the year and they stop scoring runs and winning games. It's like, oh, great. I can watch now. And they're a bummer again. That feels cruel. That feels really unnecessary by the universe to, you know, give us this like glimpse of the good Brewers while we're all busy with the Bucks. And then it's like, yeah, that's over. They're going to score one run every series now. Congrats.
Ty Windisch. I'm Bart Winkler. Good to chat, buddy.
Great to chat. Very optimistic pod. I hope people leave feeling really fired up about the offseason and the summer. At least Wisconsin summers are great. At least we still have that, right?
Yeah, whenever it starts.
Come on, Bart. I'm trying to go out on a high note. You're ruining it.
I actually don't like summer. If it could just be 60 degrees every day.
I would take that too.
I don't have any friends that have boats. I'm not doing nothing. I sweat as soon as it hits 65. I'm dripping. I like wearing sweatshirts, so.
Yeah, I'm in a flannel today, so I kind of relate to you. I was just, you know, trying to be optimistic for the people.
I do have a beach bod, though, although it's the body of a whale and not like a... Thank you, Ty.
Yep, thanks, Bart.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.